The word of God given to us today is Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Please turn to page 401 of the New Testament. I will now read the word of God. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. On December 31st of last year, during a certain television network's 2013 Acting Awards, a well-known actress who received the award for outstanding acting in a long-running drama series said in her remarks, "It's been an eventful year. Thank you for allowing me to close out the year with an award." For not only this actress, but also for many people, when closing out the new year, the most popular phrase on their flashcards is, "It's been an eventful year." This means that in our lives, not only are there many things that happen unexpectedly, but we cannot prepare for such things as well. And we are human beings who cannot even properly react to such unexpected events. Last Sunday was Songyeon Sunday. People also gather in Songyeon gatherings. Word for word, this is a Sunday when we send out the past year and a gathering in which we send out the past year. For a while, we also used the term Mangyeon gathering, which means a gathering to send out the year and forget the year's sufferings. If the people of the world have things to send out and forget, we Christians have even more. Because if the people of the world use their own selves as a standard and material values as criteria, to Christians, God is the standard and his word is the criteria for judgment. So December 31st and January 1st are gifts to us from God. These 2 days are not different from each other. We don't see a red sun rising in 2013 and a blue sun in 2014. Nor do we see a round sun 1 year and a triangular or rectangular sun the next. Even so, the fact that our lives are divided into years and each year into 12 months, and each month into 30 or so days, is a blessing and a grace given to us by God. Happiness and unhappiness in life are all related to time. We may buy a lottery ticket as fun and win first prize and receive more money than we have ever had in our lives. But this money can make a person's time worse and speed up the ruin of a life. Time spent this way leaves only feelings of emptiness. Remembering a pooled childhood, even if there were only rice and 1 or 2 side dishes at the dinner table, We smile, thinking of the times the family gathered at the table to eat, and feel happy inside, because the time we spent with the family was precious to us. So even if we win lotteries, if we cannot use time properly, we end up unhappy. But even if we do not have a lot, if we can use time truthfully and righteously, that is happiness. Moses and the children of Israel spent 40 years in the desert together in the exact same environment. The Red Sea blocked the front, and the army of Egypt followed from the back. They experienced these exact same things. At Marah, the water was so bitter that no one could drink. And at Rephidim, there was no water at all. Even worse, in the desert of Sin, they had nothing to eat. And at Kibroth Hattaava, they had no meat to eat. Facing this, the children of Israel consistently complained, cried out, resented, and despaired. When this came to a peak at Kadesh Barnea, something happened. Kadesh Barnea was an entrance to God's promised land. Entering that land meant an end to the last 400 old years. And a new year, a new glorious year in God's life as God's children. Moses sent 12 spies to Canaan so that for 40 days they could observe the land and all of its happenings. When the spies returned, their reports were divided. 10-2. The main points were grasshoppers and food. 10 spies said, "They are tall and strong. We are like grasshoppers to them." The children of Israel who heard this report wept all night and said they would have been better off having died in Egypt or the desert, and cried out, saying they would now lose their wives and children. And in the end, they decided to raise a new leader to return to Egypt. Watching all this unfold, the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good, full of milk and honey. Do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them, because their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us." But what did the people of Israel try to do? They tried to stone these two men. And so the children of Israel spent another 40 lost years in the wilderness. After 40 years passed, when the children of Israel arrived at the plain of Moab east of Canaan, Moses told the 1.5 and second generation of the Exodus why they were unable to enter Canaan 40 years ago. 40 years ago, in fear of the people in the land of Canaan and because of their lack of trust in God, they had not been able to enter the promised land, and Moses did not want to repeat this history. He says the following, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 29 to 33. "Then I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes, and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went, until you reached this place. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey, in fire by night and in a cloud by day, to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. The book of Deuteronomy is divided into 34 chapters and three main parts. Moses reflects on 40 years in the desert and how they lived, how the people ought to live now, and how they should live in the future, in the format of a sermon. In particular, the first portion, chapters 1 through 4, are Moses' testimonial sermons. For 40 years, Moses had lived together with the children of Israel in the wilderness, and his testimony was, in a word, God who is going before you. The children of Israel continued to say, "The water is bitter, there is no water, we have nothing to eat, we have no meat. Let us raise another leader and go back. Let us make a God that brought us out of Egypt." And so continued to reject God's guidance and the fact that God is God. But Moses testifies that God went before us and prepared for us, and wrought a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The children of Israel and Moses spent the same 40 years in the wilderness. But the children of Israel were not able to use their given time righteously, and so felt unhappy. While Moses spent his time righteously, and was not only happy at the end, but was able to also leave such a beautiful testimony for us to remember. Even without Moses' testimony, no matter how many years we have lived, we look back on our lives and realize God went before us and prepared for us. This is a fundamental confession that we make. This year we wish to, with the God who is going before you, enter together into 2014. And so for our church motto this year, we have decided to take from Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 30, and say, God, who is going before you. We know the fate of those who do not recognize the God who goes before you, and think that they can go ahead and prepare on their own. Their judgment by the Lord is shown in a good example of the church of Sardis. Located about 65 kilometers southeast of Thyatira, Sardis was the capital of the kingdom of Lydia, which was built in BC 1200 and flourished in the 7th to 6th century before Christ. The kingdom of Lydia, today an area in western Turkey, made the first coins in the world around BC 650 to 600. The oldest coins made in our country was the Kanon Jungbo in 996. The coins of Sardis were made 1600 years earlier. The coins of Sardis were made of a mix of 75% gold and 25% silver, a natural alloy called electrum that was cut precisely for such use. The symbol of the king, the head of a lion, was engraved on this coin. They were mostly the size of a bean, and we hear that three coins were worth a month's pay for a soldier. Electrum is the root of the English word electric or electricity. Sardis, being the site of the first coins in the world, enjoyed riches greater than any other city in Asia Minor. From Sardis came five great roads leading to different cities. The road to the northwest led to Thyatira and Pergamum, and the road to the west led to Smyrna. To the southwest, the road led to Ephesus. And the road to the east led to Bergia, and the road southeast led to Philadelphia. The fact that Sardis could lead one to so many cities meant also that these cities were facing toward Sardis. So Sardis was the center of trade and transportation in Asia Minor. The kingdom of Lydia was defeated by Cyrus of Persia in BC 549. The capital of Lydia, Sardis, was like an impenetrable fortress. Behind the city was the Timolus Mountain, and on either side were steep, sharp cliffs. Between the cliffs and Mount Timolus was a road by which the people of Sardis traveled, but even this was steep and treacherous. Cyrus surrounded the city and wanted to defeat it as soon as possible. This was because only after defeating Sardis could he conquer the other cities in the area. But even after 14 days, he could not find a way into the city. So he set up a contest among his soldiers, saying that anyone who came up with an idea to defeat Sardis would receive a special award. A soldier named Hierodas was looking at Sardis, thinking how he could take on the city. When he saw the soldiers on the parapets, while he was looking on, one soldier accidentally dropped his helmet below the cliff. He watched the soldier climb down to get his helmet and come back up. When Hierodas came to the place, he found a hole between the rocks barely large enough for one person to pass through. That night, a group of Persian soldiers passed through that hole and traveled the road up the cliff to a city that was completely unprepared for attack. Among the guards, no one had thought the enemy could find out the road through the cliffs and come up to the city. That night, Sardis was defeated, and from then on was ruled by Persia. Afterwards, Sardis was ruled by King Alexander the Great and became influenced by Greek culture. After Alexander's death, Sardis was under the rule of Antiochus and became involved in a war with his rival Achaeus. Achaeus fled to Sardis' fortress and stayed there for a year. Then a soldier named Lagoras remembered Herodotus' idea from 300 years ago. With a select group of soldiers, he climbed the road between the cliffs. That night again, not one guard was present. They had forgotten what had happened 350 years ago. Because Sardis was not awake and ready to defend, he was defeated yet again. Afterwards, Sardis was ruled by Rome. It was still a rich city. It was the center of wool trade, and the skill of wool dyeing was first developed here. In AD 17, an earthquake shook Sardis, but the Roman Emperor Tiberius forgave all taxes for 5 years and sent 10 million sesterces in aid. 4 sesterces was worth a day's wages. So 10 million sesterti was worth wages for 2.5 million days. If we think of a day's wages as 100,000 won, Sardis received 250 billion won for reconstruction. Nine years after the earthquake in Sardis, Smyrna was selected as the site of the Temple of Caesar for emperor worship. But Sardis was also included in the cities who applied. Sardis had recovered enough to be a rival to Smyrna. When Jesus Christ, through John, sent this letter to the church in Sardis, Sardis was still a rich city, but also a depraved one. Once famous as impenetrable, its fortress was now merely an ancient ruin high up on the mountain. The people of Sardis were wrapped in the comfort of their daily lives, and the church, affected by the same, had lost its life energy. To those living in such a city, the people of Sardis church, our Lord speaks. Verse 1 of today's word bears witness. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Our Lord's assessment of Sardis church is quite shocking. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead, he says. The Lord faulted the church of Ephesus, saying, you have forsaken the love you had at first. And to the church in Pergamum, he said, you have those who follow the teachings of Balaam. And to the church of Thyatira, he chastised, saying, you have allowed the self-proclaimed prophet Jezebel. But to the church in Sardis, he said, you are dead. Our Lord said, the church in Sardis, I know your deeds. For other churches, this phrase was used as a compliment. To the church in Ephesus, he said, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. And to the church in Thyatira, I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. But to the Sardis church, he did not send praise, but faulted them, saying, they are dead. He did not say they were dead because they had not done any deeds. Deeds is a plural term. This means that many ministries were being carried out at Sardis church. They carried out worship and Bible study,
and prayer meetings, volunteer service, and went out to spread the gospel. Even so, the Lord says to the church in Sardis, "You are dead." The meaning of our Lord's words that they are dead and the possibility of resurrection are in verse 2. "Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God." Because Sardis church lived a life that was not righteous before God, our Lord called them dead. And in order to make them live again, our Lord says that their lives and faith must wake up and arise. In chapter 15 of Luke, there is a parable about a father who waits for the second son who left home. The second son who demanded to receive the inheritance that he could only receive upon his father's death while his father was alive and well, sold off everything and went away to a very far country. But he lived wastefully and spent all his wealth. And on top of that, famine came to the country where he was living and his situation became worse. He became a pig keeper at the end and wanted to eat acorns that pigs ate, but no one would even give that to him. He at last thought of his father and went home. He asked his father to accept him as a worker and not as his father's son. However, his father told the servant to bring the best clothes and clothed him. He put a ring on his finger and put shoes on his feet and completely restored him to his former position as a son. And his father gave a party with a fatted calf. Luke chapter 15, verse 24, testifies as to why the father did so for his second son. "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. The father does not say that he gave a party because he found a son who was lost. He says that he gave the party because the son was dead and is alive again. That the second son was dead and became alive again is not the same as his being ill with some serious illness and becoming well. It is not the same as if he went into a coma and came out of it. He was alive and well from the moment he left home until he returned. It was not because he had used up his wealth, went through many hardships, and came home again. Even if the second son had become rich after going into business with his wealth and managing it well, the father would have given the same reason for throwing a party. A child who is away from the embrace of the father, no matter how many accomplishments he or she may pile up, is dead. The Lord said that he knows the deeds of Sardis Church. These were not deeds that were finished in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord said that its deeds were dead, and it should remain awake in order to make them come alive again. The reason that Sardis Church received the Lord's reproach is not because it did not do anything. It performed many deeds, but they were not done before God, and to God there were none which was whole. To speak in terms of our church's motto for the year, it did not trust in God who goes before, but it trusted in the glory in the name of Sardis. It rested in the past, which was once glorious, and it caved to the great wealth of the city of Sardis. Today is the first Sunday of the year 2014. The biggest illusion of Sardis Church was that it was okay to rely on its name more than upon God. But that name ultimately made them dead. The only way to live 2014 truly as a new year and to make our homes and workplaces the places of promise is to trust in God who goes before us. Even if our lives are the same as Sardis when its glories were at its height, and even if our lives are the same as the second son who is going away to a faraway country after having received inheritance from his father, if we do not live our lives before God who goes before us, our 1 year will be but an old year. If we do not put ourselves at the front, if we do not put before us what we have or our abilities, if we wake ourselves and follow God who goes before us, this year will truly turn out to be a new year. And the Lord will say this to us, I know your deeds. You not only have a reputation of being alive, you are actually alive. It is because the Lord is someone who has made us, who were dead in falsehood and sin, to live again. Let us pray. Father, thank you for giving us this first Sunday of the new year. Even if our lives are full of many events and like walking in a desert, help us so that we will spend the time given to us in the right way, and to trust in God who goes before us without being afraid. And may we not fall into an illusion like Sardis Church, thinking our lives are safe like an indestructible castle. Help us remain awake always and examine whether our lives are complete before you. Help us not to forget that if we do not remain in your presence and trust in God who goes before us, we are not truly alive, even if we are living, and we cannot cultivate each day to make up a new year. May we live on as persons who have eternal life, although we may be without fame, by following God who goes before us, and not become those who are dead and merely have the reputation of being alive. And through us who have life, may the flower of life come to bloom in our families, and may the meaning of our work come alive, and may each person we meet come to open their eyes to life and to grow. May each of our days be a new day which has life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.